show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 2 o'clock in Philadelphia and time for the best show ever. Now, your starting lineup. Bring in the heat. Ricky. Go. Calico. Hunter. Rhodey. Jen. Gordon. And finally, your host, The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Good afternoon, everybody. Best show ever here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. 610-632-0975 is the number to participate. Dylan is in for Jen, who's a little under the weather. And Haley's answering the phones and doing Dylan's job today. Let's get right to our opening statements. Oh, he had it. That's not bad. And we start with the word of the day today. And the word of the day today is expert. Now, see, we live in this world now where there's a lot of hot takes. A lot of hot take artists, a lot of people out there flying by the seat of their pants. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what they're doing. And we pat them on the head and say, that's okay. We live in a world where you don't have to be good at anything as long as you try. The participation trophy generation has made its way to pro sports, and the biggest example was one Matt Klentak. Well, no. That's not what we have going on with the Phillies right now. We have a real bona fide expert in Dave Dombrowski, and man, does it feel good to be a Phillies fan right now. And it's great to be an Eagles fan. They started practice for the Giants. Looks like Maddox is going to be back. We'll talk to Tim McManus about that a little later. But first things first, they get Taijuan Walker, and we found out that it is Taijuan Walker is pronounced like the country. So we checked. It was on his own Twitter because he was excited to be here last night. You could just tell. He signed to a 4-year, $72 million deal. Because immediately after Trey Turner, we're happy because we're normal people. But there were other people going, well, they got to get pitching right now. Or I hate what they're doing. And boom, they went and got a pitcher. And that is fantastic. And Taijuan Walker, 4-year, $72 million deal. He slots into your rotation. So basically right now, you know your opening five, assuming everybody's healthy. You got Wheeler, you got Nola, you got Range, you got Walker, and you have Painter most likely. Boom, you know your starting rotation right now. Then you knew Brad Hand was gone. You needed a bullpen arm. 2-year deal, $15 million to Matt Strom. I don't know a lot about him. I've been looking up around him. He averaged more than 9 Ks per 9. Didn't pitch a lot of innings last year, but he's a lefty arm. And right now, if Dombrowski's saying it, I'm agreeing with it right now because this guy is truly an expert. And in a world, in a sea of people who don't know what the heck they're doing, I just have a calm right now. I just have a calm about me when you have the general manager, the president, whatever his title is, doing exactly what he needs to do. He had a clear plan. You know, the Yankees clearly didn't have a real plan. And they were flying by the seat of their pants. They got Aaron Judge, but they didn't. First thing they did was they didn't say, let's see the market value. Let's take care of the guy who just broke this record, who carried our offense in the second half of the season. Instead, they called the Mets and said, let's collude to not pay him. That was their entire plan. They didn't have a step-by-step all-season plan. No. They didn't mess around. The Phillies had a plan. Clearly, there was evaluation during the World Series. Clearly, there was a plan. We're going to address the middle infield this way. We're going to address starting pitching this way. We're going to work on the bullpen this way. There was a clear plan from a guy who's a true expert. And for me, there's nothing better in sports than your organization having a real plan, listening to the baseball, football, basketball, hockey people, etc., and then executing that plan perfectly. Early in the market, we don't have to sit and wait around. Will they, won't they? They just took care of business. And I got to be honest, this is the best I felt in an offseason since 2008. Yes, even better than the Bryce Harper all season, because you got to remember, he came in as spring. They were already in Clearwater when he finally got signed. And there was a lot of people in the city, some of them embarrassingly, said they didn't want Bryce Harper. Oh, if he wants the money, he doesn't want to be here. Remember all those people? If he doesn't want to be here, don't sign him. This, to me, is the best. I have the best feeling in this offseason since 08 after they had won the World Series. And it's all thanks to Dave Dombrowski, an expert in his field, who just has been putting on a display. Hunter, how does it feel as a young man to have a guy like that in charge?
I trust Dave Dombrowski with my life. This guy is outrageous. They're making a statement, okay? They go out there and they have a few holes to attack this offseason. They need middle infield. They go get Trey Turner, makes a huge splash. They need someone in the bullpen that's left-handed because Brad Hand's not there. They go get Strom. Now, look, there's a risk involved with him, but that's just the life of a bullpen piece. Sometimes they do good, sometimes they do bad. He's an established left-handed pitcher that I will take my shot with him. That was a hole. You filled the hole. And then you talk about what you got in your rotation. This dude's an inning eater. He started 58 games over the last two seasons with a respected 159 innings pitched, 157 and a third. And then I go back to what we just witnessed in the postseason. I respect Noah Syndergaard for what he did in his career, but let's be honest. When you're in the postseason and you're in a championship series and you have to put out there a Noah Syndergaard and hope that he can face the lineup one time through and then squeeze through maybe another inning, it's not the spot you want to be in. Your fourth being Walker with a nasty split. That's what you want, and he can eat up some innings for you. Last year, he had a sensational first half of the season. Dipped off a bit in the second, but maybe there was an injury. And then the previous season, I'm saying there was an injury. It took him a bit of time to get back. His body's working through that. You get a full season under your belt, and then now you can really push forward and continue to grow from there. But I love Dave Dombrowski, Ricky Bell, and I can't wait to see what, because there's probably still some more with that bullpen.
Let's see. If we were sitting in that Phillies front office, we would first of all recognize what our issues are going into the offseason. Dave Dombrowski has done that. Secondly, learn your issues. Know what you could do about the issues. Take a look at your free agents that are out there and then get the job done. He has checked every box. You never see this. My daughter called me today and was like, Dad, they fixed all the problems. They went out and got everybody that they needed, and it didn't take very long. I think that's what's special about this, because we can go back as far as you want, and you look at free agency. There's waiting games that are being played. You don't get the guy signed until February. He's late coming to spring training. All that kind of stuff happens all the time. This year worked out in the Phillies' favor in every direction. I don't think they're necessarily done, but now it's going to be bits and pieces. Whatever you could find out there, you might want to tweak something here and there. You might pick up another reliever. And when you really look at this, the issues that they had after Eflin was gone and after Syndergaard's gone, the starting rotation, you now have six. Now you have six, because you got to include Bailey Falter in there. He's a guy that could give you one long innings out of the bullpen, or two, a number six type starter that if you do bring up Andrew Painter early in the season, you could afford to push Painter back a day or push him back 7 days and not use him for a week. I think what Dave Dombrowski has done is fantastic. It's real. It's what you're supposed to do on a baseball team. And, I mean, come on, there's plenty we could sit back and look at other sports right now in Chuck Fletcher and say he hasn't done anything. But, I mean, then there's the good part of it, where you have a guy in Howie Roseman, you have a guy here in Dave Dombrowski, who know what they're doing and they know what it takes to get this team to a championship level. The Phillies right now are at a championship level. And that to me is what the game's all about. Get your team to a championship level. Then when you get on the field, the players have to do it.
It's incredible, because he didn't allow a lesser GM gets spooked by the Bryce Harper injury. Mm. A lesser GM reaches for a Bellinger who you don't truly need. What he did was he stayed the course. At the end of the season, you go, all right, they didn't have enough pitching. Like, they had more than some other teams, but at the end, to win the whole thing, which is the only goal, they didn't have enough pitching. They added pitching. Period. We didn't have enough starting pitching. I add a starting pitcher. And he's a guy who probably has some better years in front of him, because despite his chronological age, he basically missed 2 years with the Tommy John. Yep. And last year was kind of, and I think that contributed to him not being so good in the second half, fatigue as the season went along. Now he fought through that. made it to the postseason with the Mets, and then comes back now fresher. I think he's going to come back stronger. This, to me, is just an impressive display by a guy that knows what he's doing. And we spend, Lord knows, we spend a lot of time complaining when it's justified. But as soon as we think it can't get better with this Phillies team, think about last year. We think, all right, going in, we thought they were going to be good. They dip. Rob Thompson comes in. They win those nine straight. We're going, is this real? Harper goes down. Oh, no, the season's over. They keep on winning. This team, for the last calendar year or so, have just found a way to, no matter how happy we get, other than the end of the World Series, adding all the time.
The fact that they didn't screw around. I think that's the one thing that kind of hits me, because I watched Matt Klentak, that joke of a general manager when he was here, screw around for months in the offseason and not having any direction for this team. Once you brought in Bryce Harper, you knew where your direction was going. Everything had to be upward. And the one person we're leaving out here is John Middleton, because he's the one that's opening up his wallet and said, hey, Dave, do what you have to do to make this a championship caliber team. He has done that. I mean, but Middleton also brought in the right people. Right. You know, I know you brought in that regime which was all analytics. It didn't work. Okay. Right. It was obvious from the start, but now it's a completely different feel the Phillies have. The Phillies have this feel of, we can only get better. The guys we sign are only going to make us better. And you brought up something which we love to use the word blueprint lately. But I think the Astros gave the Phillies a firsthand blueprint of how to win the World Series. Not to just get there, but how to win the World Series, and it does take good pitching.
Absolutely. So 610-632-0975. We're playing 10-second song today, so we have two big prizes. Prize number one, if you end up winning, you get your 10-second song, a pair of tickets for Friday's Sixers-Lakers game. You know, that's always a hot ticket. To purchase tickets for any 76ers game, visit Ticketmaster.com/76ers. Ticketmaster.com is the official ticketing partner of the Philadelphia 76ers. And also, we have a pair of Flyers tickets as well, Ricky Bo.
Yeah, a pair of tickets in the Coors Light Flyers Chill Zone for the Flyers-Blue Jackets game on December 20th. How about that? You want me to go through the whole thing or no?
Yeah, no, you don't have to go through the whole thing.
No, you really don't have to. That's what we're giving away, a pair of tickets. Coors Light, Flyers Chill Zone for the Flyers-Blue Jackets game on December 20th.
Yes, so you can win both Sixers and Flyers tickets today with 10-second song. Word of the day is expert. We'll expand out more to the Eagles because things are looking up. Looks like they're getting healthier once again. We will talk to Jason Stark at 3:45 today with an update. He's out in San Diego at the winter meetings. And we'll also talk to Tim McManus at 4 with the midweek report here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mr. Jason Stark, how are you today, Jason?
Hey, I'm great. I'll be better tomorrow, but I'm great. I'm a little busy.
Yes, it's been quite busy. We appreciate you squeezing us in right now. So let's start from the beginning and work our way towards other moves. Trey Turner, you wrote about it last week. You sent it to us. We mentioned that story. So, can you give us some insight? We were surprised with just how early it happened. Not surprised that it happened, period, but early in the day out there in the West Coast, first really full day of winter meetings, and bang, the top shortstop, in many people's eyes, signed to the Phillies on an 11-year deal. Can you give us any insight on how it came together so quickly?
Yeah, I can. And if you guys remember last time I was on, it was right after the World Series. I told you he had strong interest in playing for the Phillies. The Phillies had massive interest in him. And so that day, if I remember right, the day we did that show, Dave Dombrowski met with Trey Turner's people at the GM meetings in Las Vegas and told them that day, this guy is our number one choice. This is the guy that we think fits our team every way, short term and long term, and we want to find a way to get this done. And, you know, maybe that sounds like basic GM work to you. Let me assure you, they were blown away, Trey Turner and his agents, by how direct Dave Dombrowski was about that. And, like, that really started the ball rolling fast. They sent a delegation on John Middleton's plane a week or so ago to Florida to meet with him in person, not by Zoom like some of these teams do. They met with him in person. The manager came. Dave Dombrowski came. They had a little entourage of important people that came, and that left a mark. But then what happened was the Padres got really interested. You know, he did start his career in the Padres organization, though he never played for them. And they met with him two different times, and they were throwing a lot of money at him. And basically what happened was Trey Turner's people went back to the Phillies and said, we've got this going on. They want an answer. What do you guys want to do? And tell me any general manager that you ever remember in baseball who is better at finishing off the deal for a star player than Dave Dombrowski. And they freaking made it happen fast because they wanted and needed the player.
It's beautiful. Now I got to ask you, all three of us on the show prefer Kyle Schwarber still leading off, but in your opinion, is it automatic Turner goes to the leadoff spot?
I do not think it is. You know, the beauty of Trey Turner is he can hit in multiple spots in your lineup and it works. It fits. I think to me it makes sense to have him hit leadoff ahead of Schwarber. It's Schwarber too. You know, just when you just look at all those solo homers that Kyle Schwarber hit this year.
Would that move Harper to cleanup then?
I think that's in play. I think it has obviously a direct impact on Rhys Hoskins, who shouldn't really hit two. And he drops down. And, you know, it drops everybody down a notch. So, the hard thing with Bryce is when Bryce looks in the mirror, he sees a three-hitter. He didn't like hitting second. He didn't really like hitting fourth. He likes hitting third. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But these are good options, man. The Phillies, like, they're one of the most star-studded teams in the game, and one of those, you know, when you get star power in the lineup, and it's all guys who are real stars, not fake stars, not guys who are famous for being famous. They're real stars, and they're all about winning. Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, JT Realmuto, they're all about winning. And that's that, so wherever they hit, they'll be good with it, it'd be my guess. But Bryce does have a thing about wanting to be a three-hitter.
But Dave Dombrowski wasn't done, was he? Because then he goes out and gets... I'm serious, because this is one thing that we looked at, is that he filled holes that were necessities. Goes out and gets left-handed reliever Matt Strom and picks up a starting pitcher in Taijuan Walker. How did this all come about?
Well, they had their shopping list. I thought bullpen would happen last. I thought they'd kind of let that market sift for a while and maybe let the prices come down a little bit, but they were always going to go dig deep into that second tier of starters, the guy just below the Grom, Verlander, Rodon, and see where that led them. And, you know, I don't know about 4 years for Taijuan Walker. I don't know about paying Taijuan Walker maybe more than you're paying Aaron Nola. I don't know about whether that's the right move, but I can tell you what their thinking was there. They're now the only team in baseball with three starting pitchers who pitched 150 innings or more in each of the last 3 years. There's Wheeler, there's Noah, and there's Taijuan Walker. And this guy's gone through a lot of health stuff, but the last three seasons, he has taken the ball, and most of it's been pretty good. So I don't know what... But the predictability of that is going to be, but that's the thinking on him. And, you know, and Matt Strom, I think that's probably the iffiest of all these moves. He was really good this past year for the Red Sox. He gets left-handed and right-handed hitters out. But I wouldn't say he's got a history of dependability or health dependability. So they've rolled the dice on guys like this before, but he's a left-handed piece that fits them because of his versatility if he's healthy.
We're talking to Jason Stark, covers the Phillies right now for the Athletic, the Hall of Famer. So, Jason, you made two statements last year that turned out to be true, and we're seeing the second one. The first one, you predicted at the start of the season, Swarbrick was going to lead the National League home runs, bang like a bullet, and that he would, and the Philly fans would love him. You were right about both of those. The other one was about Dombrowski. When he first got hired, there were people out there saying he was going to strip everything down and he was going to be so problematic, and you were saying, this guy wins everywhere he goes. And you reiterated that before the start of this past season, saying you don't know how the season was going to turn out, but you said Dave Dombrowski wins everywhere he goes. What is it about him from you talking to him and from other people that you talk to that talk about him to where he just feels this, he just seems like he has this sense of calm we've talked about. He's just a real baseball expert. What is it about him that makes him different than so many other presidents / GMs?
Tyrone, that's a really great question. I've really spent a lot of time talking about it in the last week in San Diego because Dave's a topic among his peers, people in other front offices, because he's really decisive, really decisive. And you've seen that again this week. He has a real strong feeling for what he needs to do to put a team on the field that will win. And, you know, he's able to acquire star players because they buy into it. He has a way of just being direct and making statements that sound like they just sound like they're right. They're right. He knows what he wants to do, what he needs to do. He knows who to do it with, and the players he needs to acquire buy into it. And everywhere he's ever been, he's got this magical ability to find these owners who buy into it. And he and John Middle are the perfect match. It's the most perfect match of his career, where John Middleton seems convinced that Dave has the ability to target great players, greatness, true greatness, difference-making greatness, and he's got an owner who is willing to pay for it. So that's his most underappreciated skill, is the ability to get owners on board. It doesn't happen like this in very many towns, where the owners get on board and they're willing to spend whatever it takes to win. But he has identified that this is a win-now time for his franchise. The owner wants it to be a win-now time for his franchise and is willing to pay for it, and they are all in to win. And that's why you're taking baseball calls on December 7th, Tyrone.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Well, Jason, thank you so much for squeezing us in. I know you got Starkville, you got to record that in a little while, and you got everything going on with the winter meetings, man. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, my friends. Hopefully we'll talk before the holidays, but if not, your holidays are awesome.
Same to you, Jason. Thank you.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All good, Ty. What's going on?
Man, let me tell you. Now, am I crazy, Tim? And I ask you this from time to time. Going into the game, I thought the Titans game was going to be a close, tough, physical matchup. And it was physical, all right, on one side, the Eagles side, especially defensively. Are you surprised with how easily the Eagles were able to handle the Titans this past Sunday?
Yes to that. I mean, I was looking at that one, you know, even going back before they lost to the Commanders, I was looking at that one and like, where could that first loss come from? And I kept stopping at Tennessee. I was like, well, there's a physical team who can really run the ball maybe expose the Eagles' vulnerabilities. Like, that's where a loss could come. Add on top of that that they were without Dallas Goedert and they were without C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Avante Maddox, and it's like, okay, well, you know, maybe this is a spot where they're, you know, they're just going to have to kind of really weather the storm, and they brought the storm. And you could tell, like, walking, when they were walking off the field and into the tunnel and then in the locker room, that they had taken those talking points about Tennessee and how physical they are and how they have to match their physicality personally, and that they wanted to set the tone and make it known that they're the most physical team in the NFL and that they should be the benchmark for physicality in the game. And so they really showed something, and I think fans are feeling that. Like, that game, I think the vibes in the town now feel different. Like, there was high expectations, but when they went out and they crushed the team in that spot, like the Titans, I think it just raises it up even higher as to what this season could be.
What's the latest on some of the injuries? I know Kaiser White and Quez Watkins were both on the injury report today.
Yeah, so both of those guys were limited. And when we were talking with Sirianni on Monday, he was thinking that none of the injuries that came out of Sunday's game against the Titans were kind of a longer-term concern. And the injury report reflected that. Sean Bradley was the only player who did not practice today. Jordan Davis didn't even appear on the injury report. He played a single-digit snaps against Tennessee, and I saw him limping off the field at one point, hardly played after that. But he was not on the injury report. And then Avante Maddox is, you know, he's going to be, the 21-day practice window was open for him, and talking with him at his locker before practice, he was saying that he's feeling pretty good. And as long as he is lining up against defensive backs in practice this week and can hold his own, it looks like he's on target to play this week.
How special is Jalen Hurts? I mean, in reality, how special is he? And is he the lead candidate for MVP in your eyes?
I don't think there is any question that he's the lead candidate for MVP. I mean, and Patrick Mahomes, like, he's going to be up there kind of like MJ every year in the conversation. He's obviously very, very special. But I think that Hurts has been dominant, and not just dominant, but dominant in multiple ways. Like, how many people can put up 157 rushing yards one week and then come back and toss three touchdowns and 350 plus the next? I mean, it's just like some of the things he's doing, it's like there's just not a whole lot of precedent for him. And now that's back-to-back weeks where he's NFC Offensive Player of the Week. We knew coming into this year that he had a lot of things going for him. What we didn't know was whether he could be able to take, you know, a significant step as a passer. And, you know, he's answered all those questions. Like, every box for Jalen Hurts has been checked. Not even people close to him thought that he was going to make the type of leap that he ended up making. So, you know, he's on an incredibly special run right now, no doubt about it.
We're talking to Tim McManus, covers the Eagles for ESPN.com and 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim, you got three straight road games coming up. Historically, it's hard to win all three. You got Giants, then Bears, then Cowboys. For me, I think that they're locked in, like you were just talking about, after that Titans game. And I'm feeling really good about their chance to go up to New York and kind of show them that you guys have had a nice little cute season, but we're the bosses of the NFC East. But then that for some reason, that Chicago game before Dallas scares me. I know they're taking it one week at a time, but how scary is it as far as just, is there a possibility that there's a schedule loss coming up with three straight road games?
Well, I think to your point, I mean, I don't know that the Eagles are buying in the schedule losses like Doc Rivers is, right. But if you look at the three straight road tests and know, just generally speaking, how weird the NFL is, like myself and most people, as we were talking about in the beginning, thought that Tennessee game was going to be really tough and it ended up being easy. But that doesn't mean that the next one's going to be easy. You know, sometimes with what the perception is doesn't match reality. And the reality is that they're going on the road to face the Giants this week. So even before we get past that, you know, if you look at Jalen Hurts, last time he was in the Meadowlands, guys, he's obviously been a different quarterback since that time, but it was a real struggle where he was 14 of 31, zero touchdowns, three interceptions. That's arguably the worst game of his career. And he's essentially been on a tear since then, minus the playoff game against Tampa Bay. So this is one that, they should win. Obviously, you look on the roster and you look at the way that the teams are playing and you look at the line and whatever else you want to look at. It says Eagles, but that is why they play the game.
Before the game against the Titans, I just thought the special teams were going to be a disaster no matter what, and it wasn't fixable. Then you saw Ellis get in there and pop somebody and Covey have some nice returns. What did you see in the special teams, and do you think it can be a fixable thing?
Yeah, no doubt. And I think a large part of what we saw over the first 11 games of the season was basically the Eagles asking special teams not to screw it up. And what I mean by that is the offense obviously is very efficient. The defense has been setting the offense up very well by taking the ball away and putting them in a good field position. And so I think the basic ask of special teams is, just kind of stay out of their way a little bit. And the way that was reflected is like Britton Covey, every time he returns the punt, what did he do? He ran right into the teeth of the kick coverage and just got smoked. But advanced the ball like 7 yards. Okay, fields cleanly, gets 7 yards, and then the offense takes over. And I think that they recognized that they were kind of neglecting special teams a little too much. And so they made a conscious effort to make some personnel changes. Christian Ellis, as you mentioned, comes up and is a real factor for them. And then they changed some things up schematically. Like it was no coincidence that Covey started breaking off runs at the exact same time they started calling some returns to go to the outside, which probably wasn't scouted in any way, shape, or form by Tennessee because they hadn't done it all year. And then voila, look what happens when they call a couple for him to run along the sideline. And so one thing that really stands out about this team overall, whether you talk about the run defense or the special teams or whatever kind of issue flared up over the course of the season, like as soon as they put their mind to addressing it, it gets addressed. And, I think that's credit to what they're doing and the type of season they're having.
One thing with his numbers against the Titans that stood out to me was N'Kobe Dean. Is he starting to make a little bit of an impact that says, I want some more playing time?
How about that snap to tackle ratio?
Pretty impressive.
15 snaps and 6 tackles. I mean, I don't know how much better you can get than that. And I think that, it absolutely takes a level of humility for a player who is like, he's like the big star in college football. And then he comes here and he's in a reserve role where all his contributions are on special teams. To be able to keep that type of focus, I think probably speaks to the guy and speaks to the player. And he's been making an impact on special teams. We saw that kind of in spades against Tennessee. And then he gets an opportunity when Kaiser White goes down at linebacker and really balled out. It shouts that he deserves more playing time. Now, how much more can you legitimately give him when you have Edwards and White also playing at a high level? I don't know that, but can you create like a couple packages where he comes in and gets some snaps? I think so. And then the way that Michael Clay said it last week was like, we all know that his time is coming. And that's talking on the defensive side. Like it's a matter of time before he takes over one of those linebacker spots. And, I think that Sunday was just further evidence that, about how excited they are for when that time comes.
Last thing, Tim, just because there's rumors out there that, and we know Howie is an active guy all the time, trades, he's always in on everybody, he's always curious, asking questions, but there's the Odell Beckham Jr. thing, and the thought was it was going to be Dallas or the Giants. Now someone says, watch out for the Eagles. Are you hearing anything about a possibility of them picking up Odell Beckham Jr.?
No, I don't think it's happening, and I asked Sirianni about that today, and basically he threw cold water on the notion of it, saying how much that he loves his wide receiver core, said it's the best wide receiver group he's ever worked with. He stressed the importance of having like your third or fourth wide out having to be a participant in special teams. He basically said everything except for Odell Beckham is not coming to Philadelphia. There are games that get played out there. Like, we know that the division rivals are the ones that have been linked to Odell Beckham. And so maybe somebody's trying to drive the price up on him or whatever the case may be. But I don't foresee, barring like an injury or something crazy happening, I don't think Odell ends up in Philly.
Well, Tim, we appreciate it. We didn't think so either, but we wanted to hear what you had to say about it. Thanks so much for the time, as usual.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.